Hi everyone, welcome back to developing 2D and 3D games with Unity for Windows. My name's Jason Fox.
I'm David Voiles.
I'm introduce myself. I'm new to the group here. I am a technical evangelist for Microsoft as well. I focus on gaming, cloud, client technologies like Windows Phone and Windows Store. I've been doing development for about 13 years after leaving the military, and I've done a lot of stuff. I've done video games. I've done graphics programming natively, DirectX, OpenGL. I've also done a lot of data visualization and UX design. Dave, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure thing. I was on briefly earlier today with Adam Tuliper. I'm also a technical evangelist based out of Philadelphia. My background was in web development and gaming. Previously, I was at Comcast working on their Xbox applications, and now I'm here joining these wonderful folks at Unity and Microsoft to help these projects get off the ground.
Great. So we are in Module 5, building for the Windows platform, using Unity to target Windows Store and Windows Phone. So what we're going to talk about is we're going to cover the stores. So there are two separate stores right now, Windows and Windows Phone. And we're going to talk about exporting your game to each one of these platforms. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the hardware, what's involved, what kind of hardware you can target. And then we'll talk a little bit about platform-specific features at the end and how to make use of those. So let's delve into the stores. We have a pretty vibrant ecosystem now.
Yep.
We've been working to expand this the past few years since we launched the platforms. We've got over 500,000 apps now across Windows and Windows Phone. We've got, at any given point in time, over 100 million active users. That's a great 250% year-over-year growth from last year. We've got developers joining the platforms in droves. You know, 89% growth year-over-year from last year, over 640,000 now. And we've continued to grow our MO partner billing throughout the world. I mean, globally, different countries in China, Europe. And that's very important with mobile operator billing to attack those markets where instruments for purchasing things are not really readily available.
Yeah, I'm glad to bring that up because a large issue that game developers commonly run into is they only seem to target the countries they're from. And obviously Microsoft, we're here in America. So many developers, I'm sure you see this as well, in your location, they tend to just focus on America. Yep. Like I said, China, Brazil, a lot of third world countries are a huge target for Microsoft at this point, especially with lower powered devices. So as Jason gets deeper into the talk, consider that your game doesn't necessarily have to be the most beautiful or gorgeous thing in the world, but often considering a lot of those low-power devices that are in many of these emerging markets as well.
Yeah, and talking about these emerging markets and instruments for billing, a lot of these credit cards are not really available to these people.
Right.
And so mobile operator billing is super important for them to be able to make in-app purchases and buying games from the store. So let's talk or go over some real quick games that are out using Unity on our platforms. Drift Mania, we've got some pretty large, big IPs who have used Unity on our platform. Mm-hmm. Temple Run, that Frozen Freefall.
Yep.
My wife plays that like every day. anyways, just to give you an idea of what the capabilities are on our platform, there's some great games out there already. Thousands of games.
Yeah, a lot of diversity with Unity. There. And easy for students or even professionals and AAAs to get on board at this point as well.
Yep. So let's try to understand the way that the app stores are broken down here. So we do have two stores right now.
Yes.
We've got the Windows Store, and this applies to devices running Windows 8, Windows 8.1. That includes the Windows RT devices like
right.
Surface RT tablet, and the Nokia 2250 or 2520, whatever, the Nokia RT tablet. It also delved into the tablets, all-in-ones, desktops, laptops that are running Windows 8 and Windows 8.1.
Okay, so we've got a pretty broad spectrum there then, right?
Yeah, pretty much any PC or tablet running Windows 8 and above.
Yes, really, right? Anything from...
That's what the Windows Store, that's how you're going to get your apps onto those platforms.
And definitely something to consider when you're starting to put a lot of this together, whether you're going to have touch controls, game padding controls, because, like I said, people may be playing on a flight, on a tablet, or maybe at home in a huge desktop with a standalone GPU inside there. So really think about this as you're starting to put some of your products together, too.
Yep. Now, the other store is the Windows Phone Store. Now, this is going to have a slightly different reach. It's targeting devices like the Nokia Lumia line, now Microsoft. Mm-hmm. HTC, they just launched their great flagship phone, the HTC One M8.
Yep.
Huawei...
I use a 1520.
Samsung, right. These are all emerging market phones that we don't necessarily see here in the United States. Operating system-wise, Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 8.1. Mm-hmm. The Windows Phone 8.1 is the new operating system update that's rolling out globally. I think the last I saw, about 25% is there.
Yes.
And the operators continue to push that out over the next few months. What do you think? Maybe by the end of the year, we should see a large majority of the market on Windows.
Yeah, probably 8.1. More than 50% at that point.
Yeah.
And how about the revenue share? Why don't you discuss that?
So revenue share, we have a 70-30 split, which is standard across any app store that you deal with. So 70% to the developer, 30% to the store for platform fees, publishing fees, and what have you.
Yeah, not a bad cut at all, especially when you consider the number of developers you now have access to.
So let's talk about the revenue models and which ones we support on our platform. Advertising, of course. We've got a multitude of advertising platforms available, which we'll cover in just a minute.
Yep.
In-app purchases are huge. While I'm going through these, if you'll pay attention to the bar chart on the right-hand side of revenue source, you can see the trends and where we're at right now. And this data is fairly recent, as of July of this year. In-app purchases are trending upwards in both markets.
Yeah, absolutely.
So phone, much more so now, but Windows Store is also trending upward. And the paid model, the old paid model, is trending downwards.
Yeah, which is definitely like a stark contrast for what something like you and I may have grown up with, right?
Yeah.
Sure, as a child.
Exactly.
Right, we grew up going to the physical brick and mortar stores, buying a game for $50 and $60, and you expect that was going to be the end of it all. But now you see it's actually quite the opposite direction.
We're in the 26% at the bottom of that bar chart there.
Yeah, so we're kind of
but,
like the...
Yeah, I would personally would much rather buy a game, but the market is trending towards in-app purchases. And these are, consumables, durable goods, right?
Yep. So like a currency exchange.
Yeah, so things like... what is it, the frozen free-for-all?
Mm-hmm.
If you fail, you can buy a new turn in the game.
Right.
Right. In-app purchases like this, that this, new generation of mobile user is keen on buying to continue playing and enjoying a game.
A lot of psychology behind that, too. So it befoot the developer to get into understanding the consumer's mindset and what would make them want to, in fact, go after an in-app purchase, like kind of dangling that carrot in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to delve into the deep into it in this session, but there's a lot of research, a lot of information available on the internet about in-app purchases and how to model it correctly. In fact, Tobiah and I are going to be doing a talk tomorrow.
Absolutely.
On this exact thing, monetization, how to do it the right way to make money. The other model is paid, right? This is the classic model. I go in, I purchase the game, I download it. We have different price tiers, 99 cents the minimum on both platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We have $1.29, $1.49, and it just kind of bumps up and up and up in increments like that. And I think the maximum, maybe $999.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not bad deal at all.
If you want to do that.
Full application suite or something like that.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to note is if you do choose the paid model for your game, please, please, please leverage the trial system that's a part of our store. And it's really, really easy to set up from the developer portal.
Mm-hmm.
You can set up time trials. So I can say that my game's trial is going to expire in 1 day. It's going to expire in 3 days.
Right.
It's up to you to decide what works for you. My guidance on that's usually if they can finish your game in less than a day, you know, don't give them a one-day full trial. Give them a trial with some limited functionality. Maybe they get the first two levels of the game, right? And then they need to purchase it. So that's another aspect of it that you need to consider. Trials do afford you a lot more upfront downloads.
Yeah.
So, you know, people download your game, play it, decide if they want to purchase it, as opposed to seeing, you know, some big price, hefty price tag on the front of it. And, you know, some of us may not think 99 cents is a hefty price tag, but a lot of people do. And there's no trial, they won't even bother to download and take a look at your game.
Exactly. And, you know, something I wanted to point out about the in-app purchases really quick. Security is obviously always a big concern, and how do we deal with this monetization, how people are getting paid? Well, Unity developers on Microsoft platform always have the option of having Microsoft handle that that currency exchange. So people can have in-app purchases, it then goes through Microsoft system, and then at the end of the month or billing period, that money and those funds are then distributed back to you as the developer. So you don't have to worry about handling the money, the consumer doesn't have to worry about the security behind it, because it's all handled by the same model that they use to actually purchase the game in the first place.
Yep. And then, of course, the other model is free, right? You know, if you if you're making your game and you don't feel like you need to monetize it, it's maybe a hobby. Of course, you can always release it to the store for free and get feedback. In fact, I know some developers that do this as a kind of a beta testing for a game concept. They'll just release a free version. And they say, hey, does this work or not? If it does, then they take that concept and they refine it into a monetized product later on.
Mm-hmm. So now we have free down. Why don't we discuss a bit about advertising and additional ways to make revenue?
So advertising, we have support from several platforms, right? We've got some pretty major ones on here. I think mobile-wise, AdMob is a pretty big one. The Microsoft Ads.
Mm-hmm.
Ad Duplex is a really cool one. It's an ad exchange platform that's specific to Windows Phone.
Okay.
And what they do there is they exchange advertising between apps, and you can also purchase ads for your apps on that.
Ah, perfect.
So.
And if there is anything that you notice is missing here that you'd like to see on the platform, please, we implore you to reach out to the tech evangelists so we can then go back to the product groups and work on getting these built into your apps.
Plugin-wise, you know, you guys have probably heard about the Prime 31 plugins already. If not, they are free to download. Prime 31 is one of the major providers of Unity plugins. We made a deal with them earlier this year to make all of the Windows platform plugins free. And that's including the Microsoft Ads, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Just not the AdMob.
Right.
But the platform plugins, interacting with the store, Live Tiles, and then Microsoft Ads.
Yeah, and Azure as well. Adam and I will be giving a talk on Prime 31, how to integrate their Azure plugin tomorrow at about 2 o'clock. So be sure to come back for that as well.
And then one more thing I wanted to mention on this slide is Ad Rotator. Is a cool little device that lets you plug in all these different ad platforms, and you can feed it some parameters. It'll actually cycle through different ad providers in the same space in your application, in the same control, or in your game. So you can actually start sourcing out for different ad platforms for better fill rates, better mm-hmm. click-through pricing, right, that stuff. And it kind of maximizes your impressions. And I'm sure that I think Tobias is going to cover this more in depth tomorrow. But
yeah,
let's see what's on that.
So why don't you talk a bit about in-app purchases and best practices about that without getting too deep, because like you said, we'll leave Tobias to do that tomorrow.
So we could talk about the support on the platform for in-app purchasing.
Consumables, durable items, things
like that. Yeah, I mean, it's all managed through our developer portal. You know, you sign in, you go submit your application, your game. You have the opportunity to set up your merchandising for your game. And you can choose these products, like these consumable items. These are the items that users can purchase over and over again repeatedly. So it'd be like in-game currency, more lives, health potions, what have you. And then the long-term durable stuff would be something like unlocking a new level in the game going forward. And you can set that to expire. So it'd be almost like maybe you could do a subscription with it.
Yep.
And do you have anything to add to that? Or?
So Atlee Hunter, who's a prominent Windows Phone and Windows 8 developer, he has several hundred apps on the platform. He actually gave a really good talk about this and at Philadelphia Code Camp several months ago. And I'm sure he has another good blog post about it. Again, it's Atlee Hunter. And he spoke in depth about consumables, the psychology behind it, and best practices, and how, despite not having an incredibly large user base for one of his games, he still managed to make a very good living off of it, just through repeat engagements, fair practices, and really intelligent ways of getting consumers to take advantage of consumables in a way that feels fair to both sides.
Great. All right. Let's... Again, here's the in-app purchases.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention also that you could use any third-party commerce system that you want. It doesn't have to be the Microsoft Developer Portal commerce system. So if you're using some kind of game service backend to provide your in-app purchases, you can do that. That's certainly we're capable of supporting.
Yep.
And one other important note, if you do have a trial version of your application, it does not support in-app purchases. So it would have to be a full-blown either free download or a purchased or paid version of your game.
Okay. So then we have the two stores. How do we kind of merge or combine our products in both
stores? That's what we're going to talk about right now. We did introduce this new concept back, I believe we announced it at Build this year, of combining your games. So you can take your game in Windows Phone, and you can take your game in the Windows Store,
okay,
and you can link them together into a single purchase. And so that's very attractive to people who leverage both platforms.
Yeah.
Right? So we all, Windows Phone, you've got a Windows tablet or PC at home. And I've got an example here of Halo Spartan Assault. That's something, a first-party game
right.
that Microsoft put out. If I purchase it on Windows Store for $4.99, I also get to download that on Windows Phone.
Right, without any additional cost.
Without any additional payments or cost.
Yep.
So it's a great experience for the consumer to be able to do that. You can certainly factor that into your pricing, I think, right? I mean, you can charge a dollar extra to make it available on both platforms as opposed to making, so you can do like $1.99 on each platform.
Right.
You can merge them and charge $2.99.
Exactly.
Right? And then you get better coverage, better install coverage across
Absolutely.
Devices.
Especially with universal apps and Unity, it kind of makes it easier than ever because largely you can one build process spits out files for both platforms and you're good to go.
Yeah, and that's the universal apps, which we'll cover here in a few minutes. So let's talk about this, the method of exporting from Unity to Windows.
Okay.
Here's this big chart of prerequisites. We'll try to demystify this the best we can.
Okay. Seems complicated at first, but I'm confident we'll break it down.
Yeah, we'll break it down. So Windows Store, we covered that. We also have a Windows Phone 8 platform and store. So we highly recommend Unity 4.5 or higher for these.
Yes.
Tons of great bug fixes, performance improvements, new features included in those versions.
Mm-hmm.
So to run the SDK,
yes.
you've got to have Windows 8 or greater
okay.
for both, Windows Store and Windows Phone 8.
If somebody doesn't have Windows 8, what is a great way to actually get their hands on it?
Let's see, what do we have? We've got BizSpark.
Yes.
We've got DreamSpark.
For if you're a student, DreamSpark is essentially our school equivalent.
We have the new Unity developer offer.
Yes, for both level 1 and level 2 developers.
Yep, and we can go over that later, I believe.
Yeah.
So you do need that. You also need Visual Studio 2012 or greater.
Which again is included in each of those offers as well. So we'll often handle the operating system cost for you, and in most cases handle Visual Studio licensing for you.
And as with anything, we always recommend the latest version of anything.
Absolutely.
So you can get your hands on it, right? It does require the SDKs for each platform, which are included in the installation with Visual Studio. So not a lot of extra work there.
Yeah.
Now, universal apps is a new concept that was introduced earlier this year,
okay.
in the spring. Now, Unity 4.5.3 is the version that supports exporting to universal apps, and that's live now. You can go download that on the Unity website. That does require Windows 8.1
mm-hmm.
and Visual Studio 2013 Update 2 or greater.
Yes.
I think we're on Update 3 now. And then the SDKs, again, get installed with Visual Studio.
Right.
So, and we'll cover what universal apps are in just a few minutes. I don't want to delve into that just yet. But you also need a developer account to be able to deploy these,
okay,
and test them on devices, along with also publishing to the stores.
And again, those fees can often be waived through DreamSpark or BizSpark memberships. And I have to point out, it's quite a bit cheaper than what many competing platforms charge in terms of developer accounts as well.
Yep. And you know, if you look at down at the bottom right-hand side of this chart, we've got register for $19 for an individual, $99 for a company. That does cover both stores.
Yeah.
Again, BizSpark, I think some versions of DreamSpark Premium,
yes,
offer the Unity offer. We have several ways of, again, getting that to you for free.
Right, waiving these fees.
And that's just engaging an evangelist or applying to one of these offers that we have online.
Absolutely. And you know, I thought we were doing right by developers a couple of years ago when we had Xbox Live Indie Games, and it was $100 per year per platform. Now we're dropping it down to 20. It's just getting better and better over time for developers.
Yep. So let's do a demo. We're going to export the great game that Adam and Matt made.
Okay.
Zombie Pumpkin Slayer.
I like it.
It's called, right?
Yeah.
We're going to export that to a Windows Phone 8 Visual Studio project so we can see what that looks like.
And we just happen to have a phone here to test it as well?
We do.
Yeah. So what is your weapon of choice? Which phone are you using at the moment?
I have a Nokia 1520.
Good choice indeed.
That's my personal phone. It's great. I love it.
I'm using the same thing as well.
I don't think I could go back to a smaller screen now that I'm on that.
Right. People ask, how do you use such a large phone? And my response always is, well, I don't typically use my phone for conversations, right? It's email or OneNote and ways of staying organized. So when 90% of my time goes towards staring at a screen, I need it to be as large as possible.
So I'm just get this project open here on the desktop.
Okay, so we're opening up Unity at this point. Okay, anxious to see how this turns out, because I know I have been working on it. You know, I saw with, them drawing new art earlier today.
Yep.
Not gonna lie, I get kind of jealous when I see someone with such talent when it comes to drawing art. We're both programmers here, so our art skills tend to be lacking
terrible.
At times.
I'm terrible. I bought a Surface Pro 3 so I could do some drawing.
Yeah.
And it's not gone well.
I'm sure it's better than anything I could come up with at this point.
I'm pretty sure my 3.5-year-old son can draw better than I can.
Hey, there's no shame.
Yeah.
We've all got to start somewhere, so this is a perfect opportunity.
I go to school and see what he's been working on, and he's just putting me to shame.
Granted, he has tools available to him today that we didn't have as children, so.
Okay.
Okay, so walk us through this project.
We have Zombie Pumpkin Slayers built by Adam and Matt. Okay. I'm going to open build settings real quick here. And I don't see that I have any scenes actually in the build. That's very important when you're exporting a Unity project.
Right.
So kind of an easy way to do that is I'm going to open the scene folder, and I don't see scenes at all.
Perhaps I removed them on you. Or they just kept it in the base assets folder.
Maybe I have a bad export of a project here. Bear with me.
I will find out in just a moment. So like Adam mentioned earlier, first session, as we're starting to build our scenes, we may have 13 scenes in our entire folder, but we're not necessarily using all of them at once. Adam, for example, brought up that he has 13 scenes, but he's only actually using 3 at any given point for his project. The rest are often just used for testing here and there, going for best practices, maybe seeing different kinds of performance.
Well, you know what? We'll use a different project.
Perfect.
We'll move on from that. We'll use, hopefully this is what Carl was using earlier.
Okay.
Looks like it.
All right, his little auto runner that he had going on before.
Okay. Let's look up.
Kind of looked like some Don Bluth art.
We've got
there
a scene.
Go.
Yeah, here we go. Okay.
Again, the art kind of putting us to shame.
So build settings, we have scenes.
Beautiful.
In our build, that's great.
We have a start screen and the first level.
All right, so the first demo I'm going to do is actually exporting to Windows Phone 8. And the reason you would want to target this separately, and we'll get into Windows Store later.
Okay.
We are updating our install base to Windows Phone 8.1.
Yes.
But it is taking a little bit of time, and it probably won't be completed until later this year.
Things don't happen overnight.
So if you're doing a Windows game or Windows Phone game and you plan on publishing it maybe in the next couple of months, I would go ahead and separately target Windows Phone 8 as opposed to a universal app.
Okay.
And that way you maximize the available install base of Windows Phone, right? You don't want to
kind of limit your potential size, at that point, yeah.
So I'm going to switch platforms to Windows Phone 8.
Give us a moment to build. It's going to compile our entire project, put the scripts together, the images.
And you'll notice here we have a development build checkbox that we can check. And that's there in case I want to be able to connect the profiler.
Okay.
And I can profile on a Windows Phone device.
Okay, you kind of test performance, do some debugging and whatever else.
Yeah. So I'm going to skip that. I'm just going to create a new folder.
Always wise to stay organized and have a build folder builds. For separate platforms.
And then I'm going to create one for WP8. Okay. I'm going to let it do its thing.
Built surprisingly very quickly. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. In just a moment, post-processing player. So it's putting together our entire scene, and the player is actually what is wrapped within the Windows Phone or Windows 8 application. So the player is all of Unity that's handling our inputs, the draw loop, the update loop, things of that nature.
Right. And we're done. You see we have this WP8 folder, and inside this folder, we actually have our Visual Studio solution from our game that we just exported from Unity.
Okay.
So I'm going to open this up just to get a quick look at it to kind of see what's
kind of going on like. Under the hood over there.
Yeah, exactly. And what Unity exports, it is a full buildable Visual Studio solution. It's got all the right build targets and everything for Windows Phone.
Okay.
For Windows Phone, what it does not export are the icons and stuff for the tiles.
Right.
That's something you actually have to set up in Visual Studio.
Okay, not a problem.
Right. And you would do that in?
It looks like a very basic Windows Phone application at this point.
Yep. And so it exports a XAML C# based Windows Phone project.
Okay.
For those of you familiar with the platform changes, this would be called a Phone Silverlight project.
Yes.
Windows Phone Silverlight project.
So that file you just opened up right there, what was that? That was app manifest?
I've got mainpage.xaml open here.
Okay.
Just to kind of show you what's going on. We do have a XAML page that wraps the Unity player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it has this drawing surface background grid, which is actually the surface that the Unity game is going to be rendered on.
Okay.
So that's our render target, essentially. Okay. And then you can come into the app manifest. This is where you would declare or set up your app icons, declare the resolutions that you plan on supporting.
Right, perhaps the orientation, or if you only want it to play landscape or vertical, this is where you'd set those settings.
Yep, and also when you're getting ready to upload to the store and publish, you'd actually come in here and set up these values here for packaging once you get them from the developer portal. Okay. So I'm going to put that aside for a second. I'm going to go back to Unity.
Okay.
And let's look at build settings for Windows Store. This is the next one.
Looks slightly different. You have a few more options at this point.
I'm just going to advance my slide. Okay. And I'm going to go back to Unity. Go back to build settings. Windows Store, this is a little bit more complex.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through this real quick. So we have a type selected here of XAML C# solution. If you feel more comfortable in C++ and native,
yes.
Then you can certainly export a C++ solution. I prefer C#. I've
As
done
do I.
way too much C++ development in my lifetime.
And I'm also using Prime31 Azure plugin, and I know that requires C#
right.
XAML
mm-hmm.
as well. So often, you have to look at some of the plugin requirements because they may have specific features like that.
Yep, and you can also do very easy interop code between Unity and C#
yes.
on the platform using /ifdef
yep.
precompiler commands. So it's pretty handy for that. I can select the SDK version that I want to build against. You'll notice we've got four of them now. We have a Windows 8 SDK. We've got a Windows 8.1 SDK.
Okay.
We've got a Phone 8.1 SDK.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Universal App SDK.
So is there one that you suggest developers target at this point?
I will say that it's probably safe to target 8.1
yes.
for Windows Store apps. You certainly won't hurt anything to target 8.0.
Okay.
You know, just in case there is still an install base that hasn't updated to 8.1 yet.
Okay.
Right. So for that sake, I think we'll just stick on 8.0.
Perfect.
Just to prove it works, right? Again, we have the development build
right
option.
And like you mentioned, we can auto-connect the profiler.
Another cool feature here is that I can include the script solution or the script projects for my C# scripts
okay.
into my Visual Studio solution for this project type.
This way you can kind of edit the C# scripts within Visual Studio as soon as you open up this solution.
Exactly. Yep. So again, the same thing I did on Windows Phone. I'm going to go and I'm going to create a build directory for this.
Okay.
And I'm going to call this one just Windows Store Apps or WSA.
Okay.
This is just my way of organizing.
Yeah, so the naming scheme actually doesn't matter here. It's just
it's whatever makes sense to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. These are demo naming schemes for me. So again, I'm gonna build it out into a Visual Studio solution.
Yeah.
You'll notice why that's going on. There's also a build and run button, and that does enable you to go ahead and build and then debug without touching Visual Studio.
Perfect.
Which is pretty cool if you're not real comfortable with Visual Studio.
Yeah. Simplicity is key.
Mm-hmm. And it's available on phone as well. So you can debug to a phone device right from Unity.
I like it. Again, building the post-processing player, which is actually the target that our XAML app will
That's
now
That's the executable, if you will.
Exactly.
That runs the game piece.
Yep. Kind of builds it, secures it, locks it within the application itself. Here we go.
So we have a Windows Store app solution. I'm going to open that up in Visual Studio. And you'll notice that I need to get a developer license. We didn't do that before.
So it's going to go ping the mothership,
so
come back.
This is something that the first time you load up Visual Studio for Windows Store apps, Windows 8 development, that you'll have to do.
Yeah.
You've got to get a developer license. And it's a one-time sign-in. I agree. So I'm going to go ahead and do this here.
Yeah. So it's basically just verifying that you are, in fact, a developer, that you have an account. And again, reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to set you with something like BizSpark or DreamSpark to help waive some of these costs and make your barrier to entry as low as possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you're signed
preparing
in.
Preparing the solution. It's going to ask me if I want to target to Windows 8.1. I'm going to skip that for now. It is really easy to do later on simply by right-clicking on the project.
Right.
And saying retarget to Windows 8.1. So if you kind of mess up and go, oh man, I really wanted to target 8.1, but I don't feel like re-exporting, you can go ahead and do it from here.
Okay.
One thing I do want to note that I forgot on the first demo was every subsequent time you export from Unity now,
mm-hmm.
after you have the first Visual Studio Solution export, let's say I need to go back and I need to make some changes to my level.
Okay.
You know, maybe I need to reposition something, add some new objects, add some new scenes, right? Change my scripts. Anything I do in Unity, when it goes and re-export, it's actually just going to change this data folder.
Right.
So it's not going to touch the rest of my Visual Studio solution. It's going to leave it all alone so that any changes you make, let's say in your manifest file or your main page, maybe you've got some custom elements in your main page XAML. Maybe mm-hmm. you've got a Microsoft add control in there. Unity's not going to touch that. It's just going to update this data folder for you. So, Windows Store apps, one thing to be careful of is that it is going to export to ARM-based architecture by default.
So essentially tablets.
So that would be, like a Windows RT tablet.
Right.
If you plan on debugging on a Windows machine that's x86, x84, x64, you're going to have to come in here and change it to x86.
So here is the configuration manager next to the debug
right.
button.
Yep.
So yeah, this threw me off my first time as well.
Yeah, it still gets me to this day.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm expecting to just export it out and run it and go. But now I've kind of got this in my workflow. If I go to the debug drop down here, configuration manager, I'm going to change the active solution platform
right.
to x86.
So you only have to do this one time, essentially. It's the first time you build that
right.
project.
Right. Now, another note here is if I'm getting ready to publish my application,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to upload it to the store, or I'm going to send it to some of my friends to test it out, I want to build it in the master
correct
build configuration.
It's not, in fact, release, which is what you're generally used to.
Yeah, you notice we've got release and debug, which are, those are the standard Visual Studio configurations. Unity has added this new level called master that removes absolutely all debug profiling hooks from the app. And so I've seen frame rate drop.
Absolutely.
Release, right? So super important to remember that little tip.
Yeah, you're removing profilers, you're removing any console.logs, things like that.
Yeah, and so like if you're testing your game on a phone and the frames per second's down, you know, in the 20s and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Just go back to Visual Studio and double check and make sure that you've got the master configuration.
Right, set. You're not actually in debug mode.
Right. All right, so the next demo, actually let's talk about universal apps real quick.
Okay.
All right, so as we mentioned before, universal apps, something that we announced this year as part of our effort, ongoing effort to combine platforms.
Yeah.
So we've got the solution now where we can export one single Visual Studio solution for Windows Store and Windows Phone. And they do some really cool code sharing between the platforms. It makes for nice code updates, code changes, easy code changes.
Right.
And Unity's taking advantage of it now. And you can export to universal apps. It does require Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1 targeting those devices for universal apps. And so I'm going to show you how easy that is to export. Again.
So really it's the same data model that we're keeping, so same information. And the only thing you may ever have to change on your universal app would be perhaps the front end or the visuals that a person sees when loading an application.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change my SDK type to Universal 8.1.
Okay.
Right? And I'm simply going to do build again. I'm going to create a new folder for this one called Universal, if I can type. It's getting late in the day.
That happens to the best of us.
It's certainly coffee time.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Well, we are in Redmond.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see how much easier it is to actually develop games at this point where you can literally drag and drop and hit a button to deploy to a specific platform. When you think about how much
it's different fantastic.
And more difficult it was years ago in the C++
It's incredible.
Days.
And Unity is making it easier and easier with each release, it seems. I started playing around with Unity about 6 years ago, and to see the evolution over time of how... One, how many platforms it's targeting is amazing.
Yep.
When I first started looking at it, it was Mac and PC only.
Yeah.
And now, I think there's 16 different platforms that you can target with Unity, which is phenomenal. And as a game developer myself, I want to be on all platforms I can that make sense for my game so that I'm maximizing my revenue, my install base, all that stuff. So again, here we see we've got the same style solution that's going to be set up for universal apps.
Hope you have a beast of a machine over there because you've got three instances of Visual Studio running at once and Unity. Look, this folder structure looks a little bit different, so why don't you walk us through this real quick?
So let's take a look at this, and we'll zoom in here a little bit so we can see the structure. So we've got a couple different things going on here. We've got this shared project, and in it you'll see that our main page and our app.xaml are there now.
Mm-hmm.
But our data folder's there now too.
Right.
Unity, right? So that means that Unity's exporting essentially shared code for each platform.
Yes, the same Unity project, as it were.
Right. And so now I've got a Windows 8.1 project. So this is going to target those Windows Store platforms that we talked about.
All right, whether it's ARM tablets or
the PCs,
desktop.
Right? The touch computers. And then we've got a Windows Phone 8.1 project here. And these are going to be the phone projects. And now it's going to have the main data folder, right? It's going to have a data folder for each specific platform.
Right.
And anything that needs to be built for that platform. You see these manage assemblies.txt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the platform-specific assets.
Okay, so those things like store images, live tiles, things like that.
Exactly. And then, each platform is going to have a different manifest for uploading to the store.
Right, basically a configuration file.
Mm-hmm. These are those script assemblies that I was talking about. that it generated out. So if you're using Unity VS and you've got the plugin installed,
right,
you can manage it all from one single instance of Visual Studio, which is great.
Exactly.
And you can attach and debug from this. And again, if I export, it's only going to export and change the data folder from Unity from here on out.
Easy enough. I like it.
So let's actually, you want to run one of these things?
Yeah, I want to see this. We've been talking. Let's actually put up some of this work.
All right. Well, I'm just hit debug. And I want to do this. I did this on purpose. I forgot to change it from ARM to
x86. Oh. Yeah, threw all kinds of errors down
right
there.
This is what we were talking about a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
If you don't go and change. So I'm going to go ahead and fix that. I'm going to go to Configuration Manager. I got all this spew down here in the console.
It did not like that.
All right. So, it couldn't find all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's because it's on the wrong platform. It's looking for ARM. All right, so I've got that changed. I'm going to run local machine.
Here you see it building all of our scripts.
Oh, did I change it? I did.
Hmm.
Okay.
What did Carl do before? Yeah, you may have to clean
that
solution.
Let's do a clean, build. Oh, my goodness.
It's missing something.
Yeah. Well, it's got this this crazy
ellipsis.
Dot underscore.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw someone with that problem several weeks ago. Do you want to try the Windows 8 projects? Yeah, that deployed?
Yeah, let's see what's going on.
Because we were building somebody else's project on the fly. So let's see how this worked out. Did Carl miss something earlier?
That's a risky venture, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Carl may have missed something earlier. Again, okay. This is the joys of doing a live tech demo.
Yeah, for the sake of moving on here.
So we don't have Adam's original project, but perhaps we'll have more time to show that off tomorrow. But again, we're building Carl's Unity project, so he may have left out a script or two along the way. So I'll have to take an opportunity to kind of build through that later on.
Just going to create a new project here.
Okay. In the meantime, you're going to put together a new project for us?
Real fast.
All right.
Test my live coding skills.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to create a cube. Okay, there's a fancy cube.
That is a nice
camera.
Cube.
I'm going to add a light to the scene so
perfect.
It's lit, all right? Okay, maybe do some translation on the cube to make it a little more interesting.
I like it.
Right, okay.
Between you and Adam, I don't know who's making better cubes today.
I don't know, my mine's pretty good. Save my scene.
Okay. So every new scene, you're going to add this scene to your actual build, right?
Yep.
So there's our asset.
There it is.
One, scene one.
All right, let's export to Windows again.
We have our C# solution. Starting Windows 8. Let's see how this takes off. Again, it's always smart to stay organized with these things, so that's why you see Jason has a build folder for all of his project builds.
Yeah, I just kind of made a habit of it now.
Yeah, just, so do I.
I try to put my scenes, animations, everything, and it's something that I've seen other people do in demos, right? It just seems like a good idea to organize. I've seen some of these projects get pretty ungainly over time as you build them out. So I'm going to check my build configuration. Here we go. Debug local machine.
Okay, here comes our new project. Building, right, building, so building, and there we go.
All right. This thank you, help, for telling me that I can switch between apps.
Just slide to the side. And there's
our scene there.
Oh, so, I like that. Look at that lighting.
Yeah. Woo! So that's our fancy cube. I put a little abstract on it. I tilted it. I don't think Adam did that.
I can tell you're trying to go for that little Unity logo there. Very nice. So there it is, our app.
So, evidence that it does run on the Windows platform.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so with that in mind, we have our exporting to Windows Phone, Windows 8, and then Universal Apps. So why don't you tell us a bit about...
Let's talk about running Windows Phone real quick. Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. Try same
got time.
To make sure it approves.
We do have time. So I'm going to switch back to Windows Phone, and I'm going to do that again.
The proof is in the pudding, as they say, correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay, so saw how easy it was to make that nice, beautiful cube scene. Mm-hmm. I did like that lighting, though. So let's see how it comes out on Windows Phone. And for Windows Phone, there are actually two ways of testing this, right? I mean, we can use it in the simulator.
Yeah, so we're gonna use the phone emulator.
Yep.
And then I can connect my 1520.
Okay, your choice.
Right, to the machine, and we can run that. And we'll get a nice camera shot of doing that. But I want to do the emulator first.
Okay.
Let's make sure it runs.
Building, building, building. So the emulator is actually running something called Hyper-V. So that's virtualization in Microsoft technology that allows us to basically emulate having a phone running on your computer. So all the touch inputs are there. So if you have a touch screen, you can actually touch your screen and it'll interact with the phone screen. Or if you have a mouse, you can then click and you can see round points throughout the application to see where you're actually touching. You even have a multi-gesture support. So you can hit that button there, and it'll make it seem as though you're touching with two, three, or multiple fingers at once. So here we go. We're loading our application. I noticed before you had different options for the simulator there. Can you explain that for us real quick?
Yeah, so we have our different device configurations, right? So you can see here in the background that I'm targeting a Windows Phone 8.1 with a 4-inch screen and 512 megabytes of RAM.
Okay.
That's a very common configuration in the field in our install base in those emerging markets we talked about earlier.
Right.
Right. These are those low memory devices that you definitely want to try to target if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's our cube. I rather like it in landscape mode.
Yeah. And again, you can lock it to landscape mode in the app manifest,
right,
just to be clear.
Yep. We do have a little debug screen up here for our frame counter.
Yeah, frame counter,
see how many frames
fill rate,
per second
things like that.
Look at that. We got, 66 frames per second?
I like it.
1080p.
Beautiful.
That's better than the next-gen consoles, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I can also debug this on a device.
Okay.
I'm gonna hook this up.
So you can plug in your actual phone you walk around and carry in your pocket every day.
Yeah, and once you register for your developer account.
Yes.
And you have a Windows Phone device.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tell you a couple of ways that you can maybe get one if you're developing a great game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they have some pretty cheap options with the 520 series.
Absolutely.
For less than $100.
But again, you can reach out to your local evangelist and see how they could potentially get you hardware for you or your company to test on as well.
So I'm going to run this.
Okay, so looks like we have your phone connected at this point.
Let's see what happens here.
So from Visual Studio, it's connected via USB to your phone. We see Unity's launching, and there we go.
Yeah, there's my cube.
All right, you still have all the same debug information that you previously had.
There it is, landscape. Right, so I'm debugging live from Visual Studio onto my phone.
Beautiful. And back, and it goes right back there.
It is important to note, though, that if you want to debug on a phone, that you need to register that phone with your developer account.
Yes.
So that you can sideload applications and deploy from Visual Studio.
Right.
Okay. And that there is a tool with the SDK that allows you to do that.
It's the Windows Phone SDK, which you can download for free at our Visual Studio website. So what's next on the agenda?
So let's talk about hardware real quick. And I totally skipped that slide. Hardware overview. We do, our platforms do target a large scope of hardware.
Okay.
In particular, when we're talking about Windows 8. So let's talk about that. So Windows Store, again, these are the apps that target tablets, all-in-ones, desktops, laptops. Essentially any device ranging from those tablets to full-blown gaming PCs. So the specs are all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been in game development for a long time, the same concepts apply.
That's right.
Know your platform. Know what your game can run on.
Know your demographic, who you're trying to target.
Right. So, you know, don't go build Crysis and expect it to run on an ARM tablet.
Right. That was the ongoing meme in 2007. Kind of can it run Crysis?
Right. So these are some typical minimum specs, right? We've got ARMs, x86, x64 platform processors.
Yep.
1 gig of RAMs, typically the minimum I've seen recently.
Okay.
GPUs, it's important to note, some of our ARM-based devices, like the Surface RT, Our DirectX feature level 9.1. So there's a lot of missing shader support, modern shader support on
tessellation, things like that.
So you're essentially kind of constrained to shader model 2 at that point.
Okay.
With that level 9.1. Now, again, if you plan on targeting stuff like that and you've got very simple graphics in your game, it's not really a problem.
Right.
Right. So it's just advanced rendering techniques that you're going to run into issues with.
Okay.
All the way up to the latest DirectX 11.2 and all the goodness there. Minimum resolution on a Windows 8 machine is 1024 by 768.
That's the old school 4x3 look.
Right, yeah. And there's not many devices out there that range in that level anymore.
Okay.
Input-wise, you know, mouse, keyboard, the standard PC inputs, touch becoming more prevalent, right?
Yes.
Tablets and all-in-ones, and even touchscreen monitors. And then also gamepad controllers, which is awesome, right?
Absolutely, and that's built into the Unity itself.
Yeah, it's all, you kind of just get it out of the box, gamepad controller support with Unity.
And before we skip over touch, I just wanted to point out that previously, touch was a requirement for Windows 8 applications. In the last year, we've actually dropped that requirement, but it's still best practice to at least inform your users that they no longer require touch. So if, for example, you need gamepad control, it's good to leave a little note right there in the description of your application in the store so that people with, say, a tablet don't download your game and not have a gamepad connected and suddenly assume they can play on a flight when they're just touching with their fingers.
Right. Windows Phone 8 hardware. These are the minimum specs. We've got all of our phones have Qualcomm processors. You know, the minimum is going to be the S4 dual core, very capable processor. Minimum 512 megabytes of RAM on these phone devices. I do want to note that if you have trouble getting your game running on one of these devices, you can opt out of that. We have a session, I believe it's later this week, with Jaime that's going to go way more in depth on this stuff.
Yes, that's on Thursday morning.
As far as all the technical details of exporting and how do you configure your Visual Studio solution to do things like this.
Little workarounds for everything. Get a little more oomph and power out of your device.
Again, GPU is going to be constrained down to DirectX feature level 9.3.
Yep.
So it's going to be like shader model 2 with a couple extra little features added in. These are the standard resolutions. We do, you know, the 800 by 480 ranging up to 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
And then sensor-wise, if your game makes use of sensors,
yes,
we have the standards, accelerometer, light, proximity. Some phones have gyromometers, magnetometers, so you can, you know, it's just compasses. It depends on the platform. And if you're going to target any of that, just make sure that you're using robust coding to make sure that your game doesn't crash if that doesn't have that sensor.
Yeah.
Another note, Windows Phone, it is a requirement on that platform to have a back button. Right. So it used to be a hardware requirement. Now it's just a requirement. Some of the new phones actually have soft buttons for back.
Right.
Right. The HTC One.
Very good point.
Right. Some of the new Nokia phones they just announced are going to have soft key buttons. So, you know, typical behavior is the app's going to pop in the back stack. So if I've got a app that I'm navigating through and I hit the back button, it's going to go backwards.
Yeah.
If I have a modal dialog, it's going to dismiss that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Unity handles all this for us out of the box.
Yeah, it does. It will pick that up. I'll show you some code on the next slide to kind of how to handle that in your Unity script.
Okay.
If you're on your home page and you hit the back button, it's going to exit the game or the app.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in gameplay and they hit the back button, it's a good idea to maybe throw up a pause menu, right? I've seen a lot of developers handle it that way. You could do I guess you could have some fun with it too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, it depends on what you want to do with your game. The back button in Unity is actually the escape key. It's mapped to the escape key. So I can just check, hey, am I hitting escape? And you can kind of handle it the same way. So if I'm on a PC and I hit escape, that's usually that brings up the pause menu. And so you could do the same thing in your phone game.
Mm-hmm.
So here's just some basic code to show how to do this. So the first sec here is, hey, this is how I'm doing a back key press event in my phone page. And you can see that I'm going to cancel that event because I want to call Unity and tell it that the back button's been pressed.
Okay.
Right? And so in your update or wherever you handle input, you can get the get key down state for escape. And if it's been pressed, I can handle it there. I can quit or I can pause my game, whatever I need to do that fits my game.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
Hardware APIs, right? Again, these are all built into Unity.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing special you have to do to get this functionality.
I think it tests these all in the simulator as well, which you actually deploy.
Touch, microphone, webcam, the sensors, and location services.
Okay.
And you can access all of these from scripting like you would do any other platform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice, great, seamless, easy to do. Let's talk about some platform-specific features. And these are features that can kind of make your game stand out a bit on the platform.
Absolutely.
Right? Some of those include live tiles and notifications. And that applies to Windows Store and Windows Phone.
Okay.
Right? So I can have high scores. I can tell you that your friend has played his turn.
Yeah, using push notifications,
waiting,
things
right?
like that.
You can use these push notifications.
Excellent use of Azure Mobile Services, might I say.
Yeah, nice plug for your module tomorrow. Make a good splash image for your game. That's going to be presented every time your game is launched, right? No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Contracts, so setting charms, share charms. These are all those Windows 8 charms.
Yep.
That
kind of pop out on the right-hand side as you cover your mouse.
Maybe. I'm in presenter mode, so I don't think it's going to work, but... I can do things like I can share out to my social networks from my game using the share charm. And that's a platform feature that comes with Windows 8 and is available to Windows Store apps. Snapping. It is important that, you know, any application can be snapped on the Windows Store.
Right.
Windows Store app platform.
Gracefully handle, you know, half screen
views. Yeah, you have to handle it. A lot of times if I snap something, it'll get put into like a half screen view or even smaller than that. And there's ways to set a minimum width on that. But just handle that gracefully. Don't crash.
Right.
I've seen some pretty innovative stuff where people have changed the gameplay state or mode to a smaller, maybe vertical mode on the screen.
Not a bad idea.
For example, solitaire, you know, I'm playing horizontally and I put it in snap and it rearranges the cards up into a vertical arrangement.
Maybe even a game that only plays through snap view. I always want to see something like that. Maybe I can have a snap view game, so I'm playing a Tetris like clone, and then on my three-quarter view, I'm kind of watching YouTube in the background.
Cloud storage, again, Azure Mobile Services, I can sync gameplay state across the cloud.
I say pick it up, maybe save on your Windows 8 device, then switch over to your phone, and you pick up exactly where you left off.
Yeah. Windows Phone, a lot of the same things. Back button, make sure that's handled gracefully. That is a platform feature that users expect to work. Live tiles, notifications, again, a good splash image for my game. Launchers and choosers, these are things that are be able to pick photos, launch websites, good monetization models, and then screen recording. I can take screenshots of my game, share it out. Some of the newer services that let you record clips of your game and show
not a bad
out,
idea,
right? Stuff like that. And that applies to any mobile platform, really.
Okay. So it sounds like it'd be a lot of work to get a lot of these going on our platform. So there's got to be a better way, or has someone come up with some sort of tool or plugin for us to use?
Well, Prime 31, right?
All right.
It's a great, we can plug the Prime 31 plugins again. Again, free. Download at prime31.com.
Good for the next year.
Go to the plugins page. And you can pick Windows or Windows Phone and download them.
Yep.
Here's that.
And coming around the home stretch, you only have a couple of things left here.
$400 plus.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's talk about plugins real quick and what that architecture looks like in your assets. So when you're adding plugins for the Windows and Windows Phone platform in your Unity project, this is what the folder structure needs to be. So assets, plugins, that's a standard in Unity.
Right.
Right. All of the plugins should be there. If I'm targeting Windows Phone 8, I've got a WP8 folder.
Mm-hmm.
For universal apps in Windows Phone 8.1, I've got Windows Phone 8.1. For Windows 8, I've got Metro or Metro Win 8.0.
Yeah.
And this is all new. If you've done anything before,
right.
This is stuff they've added in recently. And then again, for Windows 8.1, I've got Metro or Metro Win 8.1. If I need to discern between the two versions of Windows 8, I can do that within the Metro folder.
And to be clear, it's Unity that requires us to have these this naming scheme, because it's specifically looking for a plugins folder and then specifically looking for a plugins/WP8 folder. If you name anything else, it's not going to know which platform it's for.
Yeah, and the plugin vendors are really good about when you install and import into your Unity project.
Yep.
They map out this folder structure at the installation. So this is here more for informational debugging purposes in case you run into any issues or you need to manually update your plugin DLL later on. Other third-party plugins, we have over the course of the past year run into some that do not support our platform out of the box.
For a number of reasons. Mono support, .NET support.
Right. So the editor runs Mono. Other platforms compile against Mono.NET.
Yeah.
Windows Store, Windows Phone compiles against .NET for WinRT and Windows Phone. And Jaime is going to go in into that in more depth on Thursday.
Yeah.
And what the runtime differences look like. So
it's
if you're nerdy,
low level developers.
Yeah. If you're nerdy like us.
Yeah.
And you want to delve into that kind of thing and see how the guts of the runtime works, definitely tune into that on Thursday.
So I think it's actually a tool to help us really discern what will and will not work on each platform, iOS, Android, Windows.
Xamarin's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Xamarin, scan.xamarin.com. They've got a great tool to upload a DLL and select your target platform. And hey, is this API set compatible with that platform?
How mobile is your .NET, right? Will it work everywhere or will it just work on these specific platforms?
Yeah, and it's really great for that. Thank you, Xamarin, for publishing that out on the web. I've used it many, many times.
Yep, you can look at executables or dynamically linked libraries, DLLs.
Yep, and so I've used it many times.
As have I.
I will say the plugin library is growing and growing and getting better.
Yeah.
If you run across one that is not working for you, please, again, reach out to an evangelist at Microsoft, and we can engage those developers and get them working on our platform. If it's something you need and you're working with one of us, definitely let us know so that we can address that. Loaner devices. Let's talk about that.
Okay. I like free hardware.
Yeah. So I need a little bit of wording here on the first bullet point. Your local evangelist can likely loan you a developer device.
There are no guarantees in world.
It depends on what region you're in, what part of the world you're in. Lot of moving parts to that.
How many are available at that point?
Yeah, how many are available?
Yeah.
Right, so the best way to find out is to find your local evangelist. We've got this great directory on MSDN that helps you do that. I've got the link here, aka.ms, find my evangelist, so you can find one of those. I'm in Dallas, so if anybody from Dallas is watching, please reach out to me at JasonGFox on Twitter or jason.fox@microsoft.com for any of this stuff, loaner devices, any advice on Unity, publishing your game, anything like that.
We're here to work with you and help build communities around gaming and game development in many of the larger cities around the country and the world.
And we can also help out with BizSpark programs.
Yeah.
The Unity Developer Offer. So
beautiful.
This is new. You can get a device through this. It does require that you publish your application first. It can be in a beta state. So you can put it out into the store as a beta. So it's not actually released to the world yet. But you can add your friends' accounts on there and let them test the game.
Right.
Once you get to that point, the person running the offer will be able to send you a test device to start debugging on.
As part of our own ongoing relationship
and
growing relationship with Unity and Microsoft.
Yep. And so it's great, the level one. Level two, let's go, there's no slide.
Windows Phone, so wpdevcenteroffers.com will have all the information.
Let's actually just
us.
Go to the site.
Perfect.
Since we don't have...
Looks like we have two tiers at the moment, level one and level two. Why don't you zoom in a little bit real quick there, yep. So I can get a better understanding of what level one and two actually entail.
Okay, so create or port your game.
Okay. Right?
So if you've got a great innovative game on another platform that meets some kind of minimum download requirements,
yep.
Then we definitely want you to apply to this. You get this is a great way to get Windows 8.1.
Yep.
$100 voucher to the Unity Asset Store.
That sounds
huge,
good to
right?
me.
I could go buy Pro Builder or whatever right now, right?
Right. Or any additional plugins you just don't have or are looking yeah. at. I mean, ShaderForge just won a bunch of awards at Unite 2 weeks ago, so.
That one developer device bullet point there, that's what we were just talking about. So you can choose a phone. Priority review for Windows Store promotion. That's huge.
Yeah.
For marketing, discoverability, user acquisition, all these great terms for getting discovered in the store and selling your game and
right.
making money.
Level two looks like it has everything level one has and even more. So why don't we go into detail about that?
Yeah. And so once you get through level one,
yeah.
you can get promoted. And I think, you know, there's a selection process for this up to level two. And we're looking for the universal apps on this at
yep.
this point, right? Again, if you go down to the benefits, we get 1 million impressions from Ad Duplex.
Can't say no to that.
$1,000.
I like it.
A free advertising, that's awesome.
Anything free is for me.
A voucher to the Microsoft Store, so I can go on there and maybe I can buy, I can apply that to a new device, or
yeah.
maybe I don't have an Xbox One yet, I can put it towards that.
Perfect. Which is a nice price drop for it.
I can buy the collector edition of Destiny.
Which just came out today.
Came out today.
Yeah, we should actually go play that as soon as
did
we
did you
got.
Bring your Xbox One?
No, but I thought about it though.
Yeah, darn. Okay. Anyways, so feature placement in the Made with Unity gallery. Again, that's huge advertisement for your game.
Absolutely.
That is on the Unity 3D website, people clicking through and they go, okay, I've got a Windows Phone. I want to see what games are available for Windows Phone
mm-hmm.
from Unity.
Yeah.
Or built with Unity.
It's essentially their showcase.
Yeah. And you get into that gallery. It's great. And again, the priority review for promotion.
Okay.
Top three candidates each month.
This is the biggest selling point for me.
Unity Pro license.
I like that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, can't say no to that.
Up to $1,500 in value.
Holy cow.
The other thing that I thought was interesting.
And this is brand new.
This is really cool. I just noticed this the other day. Top three candidates get priority consideration for the ID at Xbox program.
Right. So it doesn't mean you're going to the program. It means that they are guaranteed to take a look at your title and work with your team to understand where your current goals are.
Yeah, that's great. That's all I have. We got anything else?
No, I think it's been a fantastic day of kind of working together.
Thanks, everybody. I think we need some promo for tomorrow? Okay. Please take the poll.
Yep, so if you notice at the bottom of your chat screen right there, mm-hmm. There'll be a poll asking questions about perhaps where you're located in the country, where your current role is, whether you're a student, a developer, or even a Microsoft employee. So please take time to answer those questions.
Thank you for attending today. We do have 5 more modules of great content tomorrow.
What time is that starting at?
9 a.m., right?
Same time,
9 a.m. in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, U.S.,
yep.
right? So we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Thanks again, everyone. This is Jason Fox.
Thank you.
I'm David Voiles. Thank you for joining us today.